It's a brand new day, and we're putting the AM in American politics. We've seen the darkness of division and despair and are now jumping into the light of a bright path forward. Progress is here, and we're sharing its story with you, for you, all with the help of Signal Boost. Now, here are your hosts, Zerlina Maxwell and Jess McIntosh.
Welcome back to Signal Boost. I'm Zerlina Maxwell, and I am excited to chat with the star of the Fear Street trilogy, which the new and third part of the trilogy drops this week. Olivia Scott Welch is here. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I think that in this pandemic year, I'm giving myself grace a lot. How has it been for you? I mean, it's crazy. It never gets normal. There's nothing normal about this experience.
No. It's been so interesting. It's been interesting, and it's like, because to have like, I've never had like anything come out before that I was really, you know what I mean? Like, I've done some episodes and stuff like that, but nothing really that I was ever at like the forefront of. And so it's been really cool. And then, yeah, like mixed with the pandemic and everyone being inside and stuff, it's so funny because I'm like, oh, like somewhere in the world, like people are watching the movies and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But then it's
for sure.
So I'm like, I'm just kind of at home, you know? So it's been like very funny, a funny visit of the two.
Well, related to that, I think one of the things that's true about the pandemic year is that they are watching. I mean, people are watching everything. They're consuming everything they possibly can get their hands on. And I think horror, which is what this trilogy is an escape from sort of the real life horror.
As horrific as things have been.
And so my co-host of Signal Boost, she is a horror like buff. She's an expert. I'm a wimp. Okay. So just full disclosure. I am a wimp.
Valid.
So I had to watch parts like, you know.
Yeah, covering
stuff. She watched and has provided expert analysis to provide the best set of questions. So some of these are going to be directly from Jess, and I want to thank her for that. And also our awesome producers. This trilogy, she calls it a trip through sort of the best genres of horror, the 90s, the 70s, and witches, which is the thing that I like. So I can watch witch things. So are you a fan of horror? Are you like familiar with all of those different genres? Were you, when you got this project, how did you sort of prepare, and what was your knowledge of the genre going in?
Yeah, I was a huge horror fan. I've been like a huge horror movie fan since I was like a little kid. Like, I would consume anything that was like kind of scary. And it's just been something that I've loved so much. And then like, they're some of my favorite movies. So as I got like older, and there he is, he made his appearance.
Oh, there he goes.
I was like, there he is. Oh, he's so
Michael.
Cute.
Michael.
But as I got older and I started like really getting into movies and stuff, they just have become some of my favorite movies for like, you know, movie making purposes, and like, you know, some of my favorite acting performances and some of my favorite directing moments, and I think the scripts are so clever. So it's something that I loved inherently from a really young age, and then as I've gotten older, I have such like an appreciation for them. So when I had worked on a pilot with Lee Janiak, our director, which is the Panic pilot for Amazon, and she did the pilot of that. So she told me about Fear Street, working on that pilot, and was like, I think, cause we became really close. And so she was like, I think you would really love these movies. And I think you loving horror movies so much and loving movies so much will like contribute to how I want the movies to feel. And so I was very excited. And then I had to do the whole audition process and stuff, but I was like, man, I want to book these movies so bad. Yeah. They're such a dream to do.
The other thing I think about horror, and this is what Jess has explained to me that I probably didn't understand because I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Of the way horror is subversive and the way horror can approach issues that are really, really serious, societal issues, racism, sexism, homophobia, all of these things, but they do it in a way where you're not hit over the face with it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in horror you maybe hit over the face, but but it's not like, you know, it's not like we're preaching. It's like it's more subversive than that. So talk about she says that you've got the final girl energy, which is a term I know because that's like the, you know, the one girl that ends up alive at the end. Like all the other girls are expendable, but the final girl, she gets to be the lone survivor. But I think what's really cool about this, and one of the things that I resonated with me, is that this is a love story. It's a queer love story. And that's something that's really cool to see. What was it like doing that love story in the middle of like murder and blood and slasher?
Yeah.
Slasher all content.
That stuff. All that crazy stuff. I think that was something that was so special about the movies, and something that like one of the elements when I was auditioning, I was like, these movies are such good horror movies, and like the set pieces are so cool, and the kills are so crazy, and like the kill, like I had seen a lot of like concept art and stuff, and I was like, these are such strong horror movies in like the aesthetic sense, and like they're so layered with homage to other movies and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought like the meaning behind everything was so incredible. And Lee is like, she came from like an indie movie space. And so like story to her is super important. And so her characters, and she like really wanted the love story between Sam and Dina to be like the driving force of all three movies. And so it was just treated with such care and like respect. And it was never like thrown, like an element that was thrown away in any. And Kiana is such like a wonderful actor and scene partner. And we really tried to keep that at the forefront of everything and really try to keep that aware. Cause we like, and Lee would talk with us and be like, these crazy things are happening, but y'all have been friends for years, you know? So it would be like, what would it be like if you and your friends were in like peril? And the cast was so close, and we still are to this day. And so I think all the elements came together to be able to make such a sweet story at the center of everything, because everybody cared about it so much.
In some ways, I wonder often what it's like on a horror set, right? So you said that you and your castmates were really close, and that helps and it comes through on screen. Yeah. But like, is it silly on horror sets? Is it scary? Are you ever like not acting and you are like actually scared? What is the vibe? That's what I'm looking for. That's the word.
Question. I think it's kind of all of them. It is pretty silly. Because the like our stunt actors who played the killers and stuff are also like our friends, and they're there every day. And so it'd be a thing where we'd be like in the van on the way from like our base camp to the set, and like Noah, who played Skull Mask, would be like, can't wait to stab you guys later. And we'd be like, you know what I mean? And it's also like Noah would be in, or like Lloyd, who played Nightwing, would be like covered in blood, but being like, yeah, no, Julia and I we just picked out our wedding invitations. Like we're really excited. And it's someone talking to you about their wedding, but they're like absolutely covered in blood. And so it is kind of silly in like a situational sense. And everyone is just like, I think it's funny to like pretend to be really scared, and then for it to be like call cut, and then someone be like, do you want chicken noodle soup? Like that's what's for dinner tonight, you know? But then, yeah, there are times where like, it's a thing where like, I think instinctually clicks in your brain where you're like in a scene and someone's running at you with an axe, and your brain is like, we got to get out of here.
Right. Right.
Good, you know? So it's kind of,
I don't know that my brain would be like, this is fake. This is not real. This is not real. I mean, because I guess you're still, that's why sort of amusement parks work, because you're still scared.
You're still scared. You like know that it's fake, but it's still in there somewhere in your brain.
It's so, so true. So, one of the other cool questions she had was about the witch trials specifically. And it feels, so full disclosure, both she and I work for Hillary Clinton. So we have very specific, you know, we're like the feminists, like hardcore. So, so the witch trials, strong opinions about whether or not it's relevant today. And just thinking through even that campaign, there were so many moments where I was like, this feels a little,
a little attack,
you know, that kind of stuff. But that's not even the question. The question is, you know, do you think the things that come up, in the witch trials, does it feel relevant to you today?
Yeah, I think so. I think filming the 1600s movie, and like the tail end of the 1600s movie, and then like seeing it on screen, is like that, like, because it's the, like, Lee and I were talking, Lee and Kiana and I were talking the other day in like a break of press, and we were talking about like the scariest moments in the movies. And then we started talking about how like maybe the scariest moment in the movies is you've seen this witch trial of the 1600s, and you've seen like this man frame this young girl because she's like other, you know what I mean? Like, he's completely mm-hmm. framed her and used her differences to have like a community alienate her. And it's so realistically so terrifying because mm-hmm. you're like, yeah. that happened then and it's happened now. And that's kind of like the movies show that it's like, oh, it happens all the time. And it's happened mm-hmm. for thousands of years that this has been the case. And yeah, so you see this and you see her, the hanging scene, and you see like a literal witch trial. And then it cuts back to the 90s and you know that this man has done this. And it's like Kiana and Benji, and they're two like young people of color, and they're in the woods alone. And then the cops roll up and you mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? And it's like, that is the scariest moment in the movies.
Yeah.
And it's because it's like all hit you, you know what I mean? And you've put the pieces right. together. And then like making the movie was so crazy because it was like learning about actual witch trials and how it was just like, they would just like, you know, hang a woman because she had like a different opinion. And it was just a very crazy thing. And it's like, you can just see it through it. Once you become like aware of that information, you can't unsee that pattern. And I think that's part of what we were trying to show in the movie.
Yeah, I think that came across. And I think, you know, I did watch it at like a scaredy cat, but I did, that resonated with me. And I hope it people pick that up on that. Like, yeah. I love it when stuff isn't like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't announce like what they're doing, but they want you to make those connections as the audience. Yeah. That's fun. I like work actually as a viewer. I'm one of those people that likes complicated shows. Yeah. So what do you think is more fun, living in the, maybe this is a weird question right after this, the last one, but living in the 90s or the 1600s?
That's a good question. I was like, that is a fun break from the serious question. But I think the 90s, the 1600s, that's another thing with the 1600s. I was like, why were these women wearing corsets? This is insane.
Right.
Maybe I need to look into the history of it more, but I was like, this is a little ridiculous. And yeah, like I was like, I would have been burned at the stake in the 1600s for whatever reason. But yeah, the 90s was very fun. And I think the 90s is like me and everybody else my age. I'm very nostalgic for a time period I didn't get to really live through. So yeah. It was very, very fun doing the 90s stuff and all of like the, just every, I love like the way everything looks and like the music and it's, you know, like I think the culture back then was so cool. And I would have loved to have lived in 1994.
That was right when in 1994, I was in seventh grade. So I was alive for the 90s. I did spend like high school is the 90s. Like I graduated in 99. So yeah. I was like right in the heart of the 90s. And you're right. It was very cool. Yeah. I feel like my fashion was the best then. It actually has not improved. I was excellent in high school. And then I think it's all like fallen off. And now it's all sweatpants. So, you know.
Yeah.
And Adidas track. I was talking on the show the other day about how my whole style is Adidas tracksuits. because I don't like know what to do. I've like turned into Madonna. I don't know.
Yeah. Adidas tracksuit. Madonna.
So what is your favorite scary movie? You're a horror fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, there are certain movies that like, I liked them, but they scared me so much. Like I had to sleep with the light on.
Yeah.
Are those the movies that you love the most? Or is it the ones that you just like had the most fun in or you laugh the most?
That's a good question. There have been very few movies that I've seen in my life that made me like not be able to sleep very strangely. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in my, where I'm like that. It completely clicks with me, the scary movie stuff. But I think my favorite scary movie, I really love the Scream movies, as in like,
oh, yeah.
like fun, classic kind of horror-y movies. And then I love, I'll give you three. I love the Scream movies. And then there's this movie called Luz that's German and it came out a few years ago.
Ooh.
And it's like an hour and 6 minutes or something, but it's like a really weird possession movie and it's really cool. And I think it's on Shudder. And then for like classic, I love The Shining. The Shining's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. That one, I watched that at an age that was too young, I think. Yeah,
me too.
And then because like it traumatized me, I never went back.
Yeah.
I'm scared. Like I watched it and then I was like maybe a teenager. And I just am a wimp. It's because I always think there is something in the dark.
Yeah.
Even if the room is empty. And then that was a whole transition when I moved into an apartment and I was alone. And I was like, this is different. That's why I like the cat. And he follows me everywhere. So like if he's chilling, I know I'm safe. If he reacts, I know there's something, someone's coming. Or there's a ghost. I don't know. But he'll react.
Yeah, and then also it's like the noise is made and he's not in the room. Yeah. You're like, it's just Michael,
right? It's just him.
I can cope with this.
Really, it's so fine. Helpful. I think there's a misnomer about why women have cats. It's because they need to know if somebody's.
It's not because they're lonely. Because they need a protector.
Exactly, and someone to kill all of the potential household pets. Yes. So one of the other questions we had was, for a lot of people who grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, they've read R.L. Stine's work. And I'm sure Jess, actually, I didn't ask her, but I'm sure she's read it because she's an English major. She reads everything. Cool. So what has the reception been like from your generation and sort of the younger people who may not have read the work but are coming to the stories for the first time?
I think it's been really cool because in like my age group and like the whole cast and when I was growing up, everyone read Goosebumps. Like everyone my age read Goosebumps prolifically. Constantly reading Goosebumps. You would like trade them around and the whole cast has read them, which was like fun to talk about our favorite ones and stuff. So I think it's been cool because like at least my age group. And I think also like my younger cousins who are still like in school read them to this day. But I think now like, with my age group and also kids nowadays that are like Gen Z, I feel like are just like really mature. And so I think it's been cool for people to have like really loved Goosebumps at whatever stage they read them in. And then for this to be kind of like the R-rated like upgrade to those, you know what I mean? And also for it to be like a really cool movie with such like meaning and stuff. So I think it's been really cool. Cause people have always, I remember like when the movies got announced or maybe we were done filming or something, I like went on Twitter at a very early stage, because I was like, there's not enough out there. Like I could just, there's probably only a few things, but I remember seeing like a few people be like, I would love like an R-rated R.L. Stine movie. Or like, it'd be cool if they made Goosebumps like really actually super scary. And I was like,
okay. Right.
Like there are people out here that really are excited for this idea.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to see that like unfurl.
That is really cool. I mean, it's always dangerous to go on Twitter. Do you like check social media regularly?
I haven't looked on Twitter in months because that's like
a really good self-care move, honestly.
Because I don't even have a Twitter. I don't have a Twitter anymore. I had one for a little bit and then I was like, I should get ahead of myself now and get rid of this. But then I have Instagram and sometimes I'll like look at DMs very briefly and stuff, and people have said some really, really kind things. But yeah, I think social media it's just really overwhelming. Cause I have everything turned off and I basically like put a post out there and then just kind of like leave it for the day.
That takes a lot of discipline. I mean, one of the things that I've tried to do is put my phone down when I'm watching things. Like I realized I made the connection between Instagram scrolling, shopping while I'm watching TV. So then I was like, wait,
You're like, I'm not paying attention. I'm spending money.
This is a downward spiral. This is bad. This is bad. So I have to like change something here in this. So I put the phone away and then everything you watch is like so riveting. Like even reruns of Law and Order, they're like, oh my God, what's the plot? Because like you're actually paying attention.
Yeah, you're going to have little details.
Do you do that? Do you like sit and scroll when you're binging? And what are you binging?
It's so funny because I've tried to stop doing this too only recently because I watched Inside, the Bo Burnham special. Have you watched this yet?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, it's really fun. It's on Netflix and it's like a musical comedy special that he made in like one room of his house completely over quarantine alone. Like he did everything by himself. And it's very
I'm watching it.
The feat of like, because I think like Netflix just sent him equipment and then he made like he edited himself. He did everything. But there's a song in the very middle and he like talks, he's like singing about if this has been going on for too long and if like you're paying attention and like, are you on your phone? And I had picked up my phone and then he's like, are you on your phone? And I was like, oh. And then I felt like very, very called out. And also, cause I was like, oh, we all do this and I should probably stop.
You know, everyone is doing it.
Everybody's
doing it. There's even a meme there that says like, you know, what are the good shows? There's actually articles that have lists of shows. Like you can look up shows that are good to watch while you're scrolling.
Yes. That's the
they have lists for that
thing. I've seen this where it's like, you can kind of pay attention. You know what I mean? You can kind of maybe be on Pinterest at the same time.
Like I feel like we've missed the point, but I don't know. I know, you know, whatever people need to do to get by, it's fine. What do you do? Oh, Hannah told me that because the other day we were playing the Jeff Bezos song from this show. Yes. I hadn't seen the show.
Yes.
I hadn't seen the show, but I was like obsessed with the song. So now I have to watch
it's hilarious.
Immediately. I read that you don't have any hobbies, which I found quite relatable because do not have any hobbies. Actually, I was given permission not to have any hobbies because I have multiple jobs. Yeah. And you're very busy as well. So like, is your lack of hobbies because you don't have time? Uh-huh. You're just like, you know, I do stuff that I don't consider hobbies, but they're part of work or why don't you have any hobbies?
I think because it's like, I think it's a thing. Yeah. To where it's like, I think what would be considered as like a hobby to me is like, yeah. Cause I spend so much time, like, cause I like, I'm doing press and stuff like that or like filming. And then I also like write and I'm trying to like produce movies that my friends have made, you know? So it's like, I pretty much think about movies pretty often. And if not like fashion stuff. And at that point I'm like, well, is going on Vogue Runway like really a hobby or am I just like looking at things? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I just don't have that many interests. Like I have no desire to learn guitar. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't care. Like I, you know, like that's just, I've there are times where I've like tried to have hobbies and I'm like, you know what though? I don't care about this. And I would rather do something that I, you know, sometimes I'll paint stuff, but there's no like hobby that I've kept consistently because I'm just like, I, you know, and then people are always like, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, do we have to have hobbies? No. Like, I'm like, aren't we stretching ourselves thin enough?
My therapist told me I don't have to have any hobbies. So then that liberated me from the pressure of trying to be interesting outside of my job. Like my job is pretty interesting. I think that like, you know, this is interesting. Like, talking
like I would about culture job and politics all day long. Cause I, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's enough, you know?
I agree.
If you have multiple jobs, you're doing enough. You're doing enough.
That's what I say. I mean, I tried, it was really funny earlier in the pandemic. I got a paint by numbers and I did it for like an hour and it was cool. Yeah. It was cool. It was great. And I never picked it up again. It's like in the corner, like, you know, the corner is like painted and it's white because I didn't finish. So that was my attempt at the hobby, but it didn't work out. Olivia, thank you so much. It was so fun chatting. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. I'm talking to you.
Yes, it's been so great. So everybody check out the Fear Street trilogy. It's on Netflix. I am going to try to finish it and have my eyes open as much as possible. That is my goal. Because I am a grown up and I can do it. But if you love horror, I think you'll like it. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great day.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter @ Zerlina Maxwell, @ Jess_MC, and @ Signal Boost Show.